married 7 years come Thanksgiving Day. We were married on Thanksgiving Day. I started my ministry in Canada on June 1st, 1973, in my home church of all places, where people had watched me grow. That's the worst place to start, Pastor. Because there's somebody everywhere that says, they'll never amount to anything. Well, God had plans, and here we are today. I said God has plans. And we don't know what God's plan is for us until the moment comes. I had been asked in 2002 to go to India on a mission trip. And I said no. My wife was dying, and I didn't want to be gone. 2003, they asked me again, and I said no, for the same reason. They didn't ask me in 2004. But 2005, Pastor, you know what happens in January usually? We have ministers' meetings. And I saw them carrying boxes in that were going to be passed out to us. And my friend came to me and said, Wayne, I need some help. I thought carrying boxes, so I said, okay. He says, not now. In December, I want you to go to India with me. The best trick that was ever played on me. That's when I met Anita on that trip. Didn't think I would ever see her again, but God had other plans. 2007, I returned to India with three teams. We ministered to 15 villages. And again, I met Anita. Because of her connection with the Southern Asia Division office as their attorney, she was having to take care of the properties that was purchased for churches. And so we had some communication over that two-year period from 2005. And to make a long story short, my wife passed in 2008, and we were married at the end of 2009. God had a hand in events prior to her coming to the U.S. that I won't go into, but I can say I am thankful for God's leading. Amen. It's a privilege to be here today. And I like to involve my wife as much as possible in our life, in my life. Some of you noticed that just about 3 months ago, we disappeared for a couple of months. Did anybody notice that? Yes. Some of you may not know why, so I'll fill you in a little bit. We have a goal to build an orphanage in India. I get a little emotional about that because I've seen the orphans in India begging for food, dressed in rags. My father was an orphan. Kidnapped from England, taken to Canada and put in the Children's Aid Society for 15 years. Almost didn't make it here because the ship that he was brought to Canada on was torpedoed by a German U-boat on the way back to England. The Lithuania. Anybody ever heard of it? Yeah. Yeah. He was on that ship coming west. So we have that goal. And as a result, we had purchased a property in Missouri and went out and saw it in February. and discovered it was going to need a lot of work. And so we were there for 2 months working on that house. It's not finished yet. We had to come back to raise more money. And we have some people that have helped, some, but it's going to take a few more weeks, and we will be going back for a few weeks to complete it. So that brings us up to today. And I like to involve Anita in what I do. And she's going to come forward now and present to you something that she has prepared. Anita?
The Holy Scripture says in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it may yield seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that comes out of my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I have desired and will achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. Today, in glory of your God and my God, for the glory of your God and my God, I would like to recite Psalms 119 from the King James Version. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways be directed to keep thy statutes, then I shall not be ashamed, when I shall have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of my heart, when I have learned of thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared the judgments of thy mouth. I will rejoice in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto all thy ways. I will delight myself in thy commandments. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thy eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger on the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do hear from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. For I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I am stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy ways. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted unto thy fear. Turn away the reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken thou me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also shall lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word had quickened me. The proud had had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and comforted myself. Horror have taken hold on me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. I remembered thy name, O Lord, at night, and kept thy law. This I have because I had kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. And I have said, I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Bands of wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I raised to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am the companion for them that fear thee, and them that keep thy precepts. The earth is full of thy mercies, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed in thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud had forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn of thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands had made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness have afflicted me. Let I pray thee that thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. And let thy tender mercies come upon me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dwelt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that know thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The wicked have digged pits for me that is not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful, but they persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They have almost consumed me from the earth, but I will forsake not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimonies of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heavens. Amen. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. It continueth this day, according to thy ordinance. For all are thy servants. Unless the law has been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen the end of all perfection, but thy commandments are exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they're ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I have kept thy precepts. I refrain my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey unto my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and will perform it, that I would keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked had laid snares for me, yet I yield not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as mine heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I incline my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hoped in thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I will be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all that had erred from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth in fear for thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to my oppressors. Be surety unto thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. My eyes fail for the salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercies. Teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void the law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doeth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I have longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me. Be merciful unto me, as thou used to be unto them that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face shine upon thy servant. Teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water flow from my eyes, because they kept not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. The testimonies which thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy word. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. I prevented the night watches that I may meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to the loving kindness, O Lord, and quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh, them that follow mischief. They are far from thy law, but thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Thy salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, and quicken me according to thy judgment. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, for they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts, and quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe for thy word. I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth a great soil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. I have done thy commandments. My soul had kept thy testimonies, and I loved them exceedingly. I had kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, and all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praises when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy words, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgment help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments.
Amen. Let the praise be to God. We've had occasion to share God's word in a number of churches. We had a Methodist church that invited us to come on a Sunday in Nebraska, and we had a wonderful time sharing there. What better topic could we choose than to talk about God's word? The Bible is the most diverse, the most hated, the most loved book in the world. The Bible is so much hated that tens of thousands of them have been burned. Its followers were killed. Many were sawed in two. Some have been put in prison. Many, well, we don't know what happened to them. It is a book that is loved, and our Creator, our Jesus, said that we need to spend more time drawing closer to Him. Hatred and love, devotion and distrust, hope and despair, salvation and death are all brought together. They all revolve around the Bible. As events roll into history, we are standing, my friends, at the close of probation. I believe that we are right at the moment when Jesus could appear any time. And we need to get closer and closer to his word. As I thought about what I should speak about today, I was impressed that it ought to be the importance of God's word. The scripture says in Amos chapter 8, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north through even to the east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Today there are many who long to hear the word of God. If they came to you, would you be able to share it with them? The Bible talks much about the time in Matthew 24 when it says, "For in the last days there will be great distress, such as was not since the world began, and never will be equaled again." It also says, "If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." There are many that I meet every week who are deceived. They don't spend time with the Bible to find out what it really says for themselves. And sad to say, many of our brothers and sisters are in that same category. Over the years of my ministry, there have been many that I've talked to that never opened the Bible between church from one Sabbath to another. My brothers and sisters, I pray that you aren't one of them. We all need to spend more time with God's word. Jesus is coming very soon. God's word says, in such times as these, we need an anchor. And I know of no better anchor than the word of God. Our faith must be grounded on his word. In 2 Timothy 2, we are commanded to study the Bible. This word means to be diligent to labor. If we spend the time we need in the word of God, we will be able to rightly divide that word. This is a surgical term that means to make a straight cut, rightly dividing. In other words, we will obtain a correct understanding of the word of God. And this prepares us to be workmen. That is a servant who will not be ashamed in the face of the enemy. As we study the Bible, we learn about the wonder of God. We learn about the work of God. We learn about the will of God and the ways of God. We will receive a theological education that will enable us to serve the Lord without shame. Because the Bible teaches that we, as we study the Bible, will become personally acquainted with the person, the promises, the prophecies, and the plan and proof of God. Most of us, sad to say, are not good at memorizing the Bible. Like Anita. I wish I could do it. But that's not something that God gave to me. As I look back over the years, I have struggled to memorize some things I wish I hadn't memorized. Oh, I hear some of you agreeing. But there are many other things I wish I could memorize. But as we study His Word, as we read it, more and more will become attached to us. Those of us who cannot memorize should try our best to retain God's Word in our memory. We should teach our children to memorize Scripture so that it will be as a lamp unto their feet and a light unto our path. Scripture says in James 1, as a mirror, the Word of God perfectly reflects the mind of God. Thy Word is like unto a lamp, unto a seed. It talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1. The Word is as a sword in Ephesians, a lamp unto our path. It's like water. David and Job both tell us. The Word of God is called food because it strengthens us who partake of it. John 6 says it's like bread that nourishes us. And David in the Psalms represents it as honey. Jeremiah as a hammer and fire. Anybody here like honey? I remember a beekeeper that I had in one of my last churches in Canada. And every summer, after the first summer I was there, there'd be a knock on my door. And he would be there with some honeycomb and fresh bottle of honey. He said, Pastor, this is the first fruits of this year's crop. The pastor always gets the first honey that I get. I kind of like that honey because it was dedicated honey. The Word of God equips us against battles of principalities and powers of darkness. And we're going to need that protection soon. I believe it's going to be sooner than many of us realize. When Paul described the armor of the believer, he only mentioned one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, or the Word of God. The word sword comes from the Greek word rhema. It refers to what was called the Roman short sword. You've seen pictures of them, I'm sure. The Roman soldiers always had that sword by their side. It was like a dagger. It refers to what was called the Roman short sword that was on the belt of every Roman soldier, every legionnaire. They carry wherever they went and used it in as many tasks as they could, preparing their food to hand-to-hand combat. This is just what Jesus was referring to when he spoke on the Mount of Temptation. Three times, remember, Jesus was tempted. And three times Jesus walked into that great armory and plucked out the verses of his word that was needed. He entered the Deuteronomy room and walked out with the perfect sword with which he could stick the devil. Of course, before you can do this, you must be familiar with where the right sword is kept, in the armory. This means that you need to study the armory. Familiarize yourself with the placement of all the different swords. Then when temptation and trials come, you will know exactly where to go. You can walk into that armory, you can pick up the right weapon, and go into battle. By the way, when you fight the battles of life, and the enemy of life in your own strength, what happens? You fail. But when you fight the battles of the sword of the Lord, you always win. I want each one of you to win. We need to learn out the layout of the armory, because it will enable us to fight far more efficiently. The Christian's method of defense is very similar to a soldier. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When attacked by the enemy without or within, stand firm. And your defense is very similar to the soldier. When attacked, we need to stand firm. We need to display the word. Hold it forth. What do you carry in your car with you? Sometime, did I see her cell phone? I carry a Bible in my glove compartment. And I can't tell you how many times I'm able to open that glove compartment and share something with a passenger, somebody that's riding with me. We need to be alert. We need to be aware that people out there around us have questions, they have worries, they have troubles. They wonder why we're different. And if we have the sword, we can show them. If you will get the seed of the word in your heart, God will water it and he will bring forth fruit. He will help it to grow. As you abide in him through prayer and through studying and meditation in the word, you will find the fruit that will be produced in your life, and you won't have to struggle to grow in your own strength. You will just grow. I think most of you know that one of the most dramatic examples of the Bible and its divine strength is illustrated in the story of the bounty. Anybody ever heard of the bounty? One? Anybody else? No? Oh my. Let's go back into history. The bounty was a ship on which there was a mutiny. Now you're waking up? Following the rebellion, when Captain Bligh was killed, there were 9 mutineers, along with Tahitian men and women who accompanied them, who found their way to a little island in the South Pacific called Pitcairn. As often happens, tempers flare and people get hurt. And one day, after a battle among themselves, they discovered that there was only one man left alive and 24 women and a few children. John Adams was the man left alive. And he got a little bored one day and began to look through Captain Bligh's trunk that they had salvaged from the ship. And he found the Bible. He began to read it. There was nothing else to do. He got bored with the women. There were no men to fight. And so he spent time in the Word. And it changed his life. He shared it with the women and the children. And pretty soon, they were all keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. I'm told today that everybody but possibly one on that island are Seventh-day Adventists. That one was a postmaster that was sent in to take care of the mail. Not sure how much mail they get on a little island like that. But anyway, the word reproof in the Bible means to be convicted. It has the idea of putting something to the test. And John Adams put the Bible to the test. It changed all their lives. It's like a set of scales or balances. It will show you where you're falling short. It is like a plumb line. It will show you where you do not line up. Scripture will put you to the test. It's like a mirror. It will reveal the true you, as revealed in James 1. Martin Luther said, "I study my Bible like I gather apples. First I shake the whole tree, that the ripest may fall. Then I shake each limb. And when I have shaken each limb, I shake every branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search the Bible as a whole, like shaking the whole tree. Then I shake every little limb, study the book after book after book. Then I shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters. Then I shake every twig, or a careful study of the paragraphs and sentences and words and their meanings." I think that's pretty good advice, don't you? Yes. Study it like shaking an apple tree. Get all the fruit you can from it. The Word of God corrects us, which means it restores us to an upright and correct state. The Bible doesn't just show us what is wrong in our lives. It also teaches us how to fix what is wrong. Boy, I like that. It teaches us about the matter of repentance and confession of sin. If you will do what the Bible says to do about wrongs, it exposes, it will get you on the right path in short order. The Word of God is an instrument. It gives instruction in righteousness. It refers to instruction that aims at increasing virtue. And how many of us couldn't increase our virtue? The Bible will tell you that your word is wrong with you and how to make those wrongs right. Then it will tell you how to live so that you can avoid being found in the wrong next time around. Literally, it gives the phrase instruction in righteousness. What is righteousness? Right living. That's what cultivation brings in the soul. God's tool will show us that the adversary wants to shape us a different way. There are times when God will use chastisement to speak to his children. However, the Bible is the primary tool God uses to develop his children. I don't know about you, but I want to spend more time with his word. Amen. And it's hard in these days that we live. The devil will try and get so busy, and we just have to say, "Get out of here, Satan. I've had enough of you. I want God's word in my life." The story is told that a New York enthusiast had a good collection of paintings, one of them being the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which hung over his writing desk. Anybody heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? For a long time, he noticed that every day he would put that picture straight like it was supposed to be, and he would come back the next morning and it would be crooked. The tower would be straight up and the picture was crooked. And one day he asked his housekeeper, "Are you moving that picture every day?" She said, "Yes, the tower was crooked, so I straightened it up." Well, we need to be straightened up with God's word. Does it sound strange that we need to be straightened up? To many people, it does, because they're so used to being crooked. We need to share. We need to be sure, rather, that we hang the picture of Jesus straight, so that we can cut the word of God. That means get it straight. We must not allow our opinions to cloud the message God wants his people to hear. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto some good works. Oh, did I make a mistake? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That doesn't leave anything out, does it? Let nothing separate you from God. Amen. He is our Savior, and his word is our anchor. Spend time with the scriptures. Learn to understand God through the word. Let his words be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Amen. I pray that that will be our goal from this day onward, and that we will help others to come to know him better. Amen. Let's close our service with hymn number 602. 602.